Thanks for listening to this episode of the Westerosi Primer. For full show notes and more about all things Westeros, head to thewesterosiprimer.com. Before I start playing the intro music, check out this friend of the show.
Are you tired of having to change to different podcasts for different topics?
You think you know what we're going to talk about.
And welcome back to Three Fates Decide.
Then we're the podcast for you. Three Fates Decide podcast ranges in a variety of topics, all the way from true crime to reviewing different movies, shows, theater, to the hottest pop culture gossip and topics.
It just sounds more dramatic that way.
All right, so this week we are going to be talking about...
You can find us on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and all other podcast players. New episodes post every Friday. Feel free to also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Three Fates Decide with the three spelled out. You can also shoot us an email at threefatesdecide@gmail.com to send us topics you want us to cover. We want to cover what you want. Want different topics? Well, then let the Three Fates Decide.
Three Fates Decide podcast.
Greetings, fellow acolytes. Welcome to another episode of the Westerosi Primer. My name is Liz. If you're new to this podcast, welcome. I hope you enjoy this journey of all things Westeros. And in this episode, I'll be talking about Daeron II, later known as Daeron the Good. Before I start the discussion, just a brief update. I actually got a response from one of you listeners. Someone has done the poll. If you're listening to this episode, thanks for starting things off. So you picked Jaehaerys I as the best Targaryen king and Aerys II as the worst one. So listeners, do you agree with that pick? Do you disagree? Head over to the podcast website where I have the direct link to the poll. In case you're wondering what are the other options, here they are. For the best king, the choices are Aegon I, Jaehaerys I, Daeron II, Aegon V, and other. For the worst king, the choices are Aenys Targaryen, Maegor Targaryen, Aegon II, Aegon IV, Aerys II, or other. Other is basically the option you can pick if you think the best or worst king is none of the ones I listed. I suspect most of you will pick the choices I listed, but sometimes you guys have different perspectives. So please feel free to do the poll. It's a fun way to share your thoughts. Now to get to this week's episode, there are a couple of things to note. First, there will be some potential spoilers for people who have not read any of the books connected to A Song of Ice and Fire. There may also be potential spoilers for House of the Dragon and other future shows adapted by Max. So, if you're okay with this, then please continue listening. Second, the information in this episode comes from the written works of George R.R. Martin and the contributors of A Wiki of Ice and Fire on Westeros.org. Check out the full show notes and other links located on this show's website, thewesterosiprimer.com. With that said, let's begin. As usual, this episode will be focused on Daeron II. However, I will include discussions of other people in this episode since they are also involved with events. Also, I'll be repeating some information mentioned in previous episodes, considering Daeron lived through the reigns of multiple kings. Daeron was born in AC 153 to Aegon IV and his sister-wife Nerys Targaryen. This means that he was born during the reign of his grand uncle, Aegon III. Since we don't have a volume 2 of Fire and Blood, we don't really know a lot about how Daeron was as a child. Based on what is known about his personality, we would have to assume a lot of things. For one thing, more care and effort was made to educate Daeron compared to his parents and his royal cousins. Daeron wasn't a warrior, but he was very intelligent. He spent a lot of time with maesters and other educated men. My personal opinion is this was Viserys realizing the mistakes he made with his own children. As mentioned in the Baelor and Viserys the second episode, Daeron would be betrothed to Mirya Martell to end the war with Dorne. As I mentioned in the previous episode, it's not clear when exactly the marriage happened, but their first son Baelor would be born in AC 170. So it could have happened at any point between AC 161 and AC 169. But more realistically, I lean more towards 169. So again, following the tradition that's sort of happened, Baelor was obviously named after the king responsible for his parents' union. We really don't know too much about Daeron and Mariah's marriage. We have to assume that they at least got along, if not loved each other. They would have four sons, Baelor, Aerys, Rhaegal, and Mykar. Baelor is the only son who we know when he was born. Interestingly enough, the folks at Westeros.org have done some really excellent work to figure out when characters were born and died if George didn't officially state it. It's a fascinating read if you look at the train of logic used to figure these dates out. In AC 171, his grandfather became King Viserys II, and then just a year later, he dies. So in AC 172, Aegon becomes Aegon IV and Daeron was named Prince of Dragonstone. Considering this meant Daeron was an actual adult, he has a lot more credibility to speak and act. He regularly went against his father's schemes to do whatever he wanted. Daeron knew perfectly well many of these ideas were not in the best interest of anyone else except his father. This is why I mentioned in the last episode, Aegon grew to dislike, if not hate, his son Daeron. It's a fan theory that Aegon's questioning of Daeron's legitimacy is him being a petty man. He hates being told no and being controlled by other people who have the ability to stop him. Daeron is too much like Viserys in that he does things to curb against Aegon's behavior. This is also probably a big reason why Aegon legitimizes all of his bastard children when he died. In AC 172, Daeron's only living full sibling was born. Daenerys is 19 years younger than her brother. I can relate to this personally since my only sibling just happens to be a big brother who is 14 years older than me. As I mentioned in the last episode, Aegon really spread his seed around and had numerous children. But for this episode and the next couple of ones, there's only a handful of these illegitimate children we actually need to keep track of. Daemon Waters was Aegon's son after his brief fling with his cousin Daenna Targaryen. He likely was allowed to live in the Red Keep because he's the son of two Targaryens. He was born in AC 170 and was partially the reason why King Baelor died. Aegor Rivers was born in AC 172 and was Aegon's son with Barba Bracken. He grew up at his mother's home of Stonehenge because of political shenanigans that happened in the Red Keep. If you didn't listen to the last episode, you get more details there. Brynden Rivers was Aegon's son with Melissa Blackwood. He was born in AC 175 and lived part of his childhood in the Red Keep. He likely spent a lot of time in Raventree Hall, the home of House Blackwood. Shiera Seastar is the last acknowledged bastard child Aegon had. Her mother was a Lyseni courtesan named Serene. It's not clear when she was born, but it had to have been after AC 178. AC 178 was the year the previous mistress, Jane Lothston, left court. The king died in AC 184, and Serene would die from complications after Shiera's birth. So with all those dates, we can see roughly how things were during Aegon's rule. Daeron, as the Prince of Dragonstone, would have been dealing with a lot. His father was siring illegitimate children and being a corrupt, negligent ruler. Daeron would have been trying to do what he could to keep Westeros from falling apart. As I briefly mentioned in the last episode, Daemon would have been living in the Red Keep. He got to have certain privileges afforded to him even though he's not a legitimate son. We don't really know too much about the relationship between Daeron and Daemon. I imagine there would be some degree of tolerance on Daeron's part, considering who Daemon's mother was. Aegor lived at Stonehedge, away from court. He and his mother were forced from court in disgrace, only for her to be replaced by a Blackwood. If you listeners didn't already know this, Blackwoods and Brackens have been at each other's throats for generations. You could argue this is an influence on his attitude. However, what we can be certain of is Aegor has a huge resentment because his mother was barely a mistress for a year. Meanwhile, Melissa Blackwood became the dominant lady at court for about 5 years. Aegor was also bitter about Brynden and Shiera Seastar being lovers when he also loved her too. However, Shiera had no interest in Aegor. Brynden Rivers lived at least part of his childhood in King's Landing. We don't get much info about his early years because George didn't give us the details. Shiera Seastar is another figure where we just don't know a ton about her. However, it's fascinating she's the source of bitter jealousy and hate between her half-brothers Brynden and Aegor, since they both loved her and she only loved one of them back. In the last episode, I had mentioned that Daemon was given Blackfyre after winning a squire's joust. Then Aegon dies, legitimizing his illegitimate children. And naturally, Daeron becomes king after his father dies. At this point in time, Daeron and his family were living on Dragonstone. This harkens back to his great-grandparents Daemon and Rhaenyra living there while she was heir to the throne. Daeron was crowned with the same crown Aegon wore. To demonstrate how he was the complete opposite of his father, he quickly cleaned house. He got rid of pretty much everyone his father picked to serve in the bureaucracy. Daeron picked people he knew were actually competent and qualified for their jobs, unlike some other heads of state I can think of. Daeron couldn't reverse his father's choice to legitimize his other children. Daeron did the honorable thing of providing support for his half-siblings. He also honored the marriage negotiations Aegon had arranged for Daemon to marry Rohan of Tyrosh. Daeron even gifted Daemon a tract of land along the Blackwater Rush so he could build a keep of his own. Daeron didn't have to do this much. When you take into account how bastard children get treated in Westeros, this really was doing a lot more than was necessary. Daeron would also finalize the annexation of Dorne by arranging a marriage between his brother-in-law, Prince Meryn Martell, to Daenerys. This means that the later Martell family, many of you Game of Thrones fans are familiar with, claim descent from Meryn and Daenerys. This has some implications years later, which I'll get into in another episode. Meryn Martell was also the one who created the water gardens for his new bride. In case you guys weren't aware, many of the Dorne scenes in seasons 5 and 6 of Game of Thrones took place at the Water Gardens. The actual castle of House Martell is Sunspear, but Doran Martell moved to the Water Gardens in AC 298, which is roughly when part of Game of Thrones takes place. The wedding would happen in AC 188. Prince Meryn would officially bend the knee a year after the wedding. In return for agreeing to bend the knee, Prince Meryn would be able to continue using the title of prince, and there were additional tax concessions and some degree of autonomous rule. There were many nobles who resented this, given the deaths from past wars with Dorne. Also, when the Targaryens conquered the other kingdoms, these type of concessions weren't given to any of them. On top of this, there was an increase in Dornish representation at court that displeased other Westerosi. You might be thinking, why is this such a big deal? I'll get to that a bit later in the episode. One interesting story I have to share is there was, of course, a tourney organized to celebrate the momentous wedding. The final joust at this tourney was between Prince Baelor and Daemon, who by now had taken the name Blackfyre as his surname. Eventually, Baelor would win the joust. He would afterwards be known as Baelor Breakspear, which is an interesting contrast to his namesake. Another side note, we will be seeing Baelor Breakspear in the upcoming show A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. Baelor is going to be a very unusual looking Targaryen because, unlike most Targaryens, he's half Martell. If the TV show is going to be accurate, he'll have dark hair at the very least. There were some grumbles from people over the fact he looks more Dornish than Targaryen. Also, he shares the name with a weak king. It's a problem given he's now Prince of Dragonstone and potentially the future king. To celebrate the success of the unified Westeros, Daeron had a new castle constructed and named Summerhall. Like the name suggests, it would act as something like a summer palace. This is not too different from what some kings in our real world possess. One side note I have to make. It's not really clear when this happened because George didn't write the book about it, but Elena Targaryen married a second time. She would marry Lord Ronald Penrose, who was serving as Master of Coin. She would have four children with her second husband, Robin, Lena, Jocelyn, and Joy. Despite the fact Lord Ronald was Master of Coin, Elena allegedly did the real work since she's actually smarter than him. It's not clear when, why, or how he died, but it happened while Daeron was still king. That's because not too long after he dies, Daeron gave his blessing for Elena to pick her final husband, Sir Michael Manwoody. The knight is originally from Dorne. Elena would outlive this husband as well. It's not clear when she died, but George apparently said in an interview that men said she was more beautiful at 70 than she had been at 17. If George was being literal, Elena would be 70 in AC 220. So some fans think she died at some point after AC 220. She likely died sometime during the reign of one of the next two kings. I'll explain that in the next episode. Just like his older brother, Daemon managed to have a pretty fruitful marriage to Rohan. Daemon had 9 children with his wife Rohan, including twin sons named Aegon and Aemon. Considering how fraught his father and his uncle's relationship was, it's pretty funny to me Daemon named his two oldest sons after them. You'd think there was satisfaction with how his life was going. However, like I had said earlier in the episode, some nobles were dissatisfied with the growing influence of Dorne at court. On top of that, Aegon's selfishness really sank in. Aegon's insinuations that Daeron wasn't his true son, Aegon gifting Blackfyre to Daemon, and Baelor looking too Dornish for people just made rebellion ripe. People actually started approaching Daemon to possibly start a rebellion. However, it took years for this to actually happen. Some of the more romantic types like to say that Daemon was frustrated and disappointed he couldn't marry Daenerys, his half-sister, who was only 2 years younger than him. Rumors say she also loved him as well. However, there's plenty of skeptics of this notion, as I'll get to in a bit. It seemed most likely that Aegor Rivers and Sir Quentin Ball finally convinced Daemon to overthrow Daeron and kick off the first Blackfyre Rebellion. Yes, there are multiple ones, as I'll get to in the next few episodes. Daemon arranged for his daughter Calla Blackfyre to marry her uncle Aegor Rivers to seal their alliance. You listeners naturally know who Aegor Rivers is by now. But you may be wondering, who is Quentin Ball? This knight was the master at arms at the Red Keep during Aegon's reign. While there, he trained Daeron's sons and also Daeron's 3 bastard brothers, Daemon, Aegor, and Brynden. For whatever reason, King Aegon promised to name him a member of the King's Guard when an opening happened. This was strange because the man was already married. Apparently, the knight wanted to be in the Kingsguard, or maybe he didn't care much for his wife. I say that because he had his wife join the Silent Sisters despite not actually having the position. Aegon, of course, dies before an opening happened. Later, Daeron became king, and the knight mentioned this promise. For whatever reason, Daeron chose a different knight instead. This is suspected to be the reason why Sir Quentin decided to help Aegor convince Daemon to rebel. The actual rebellion began in AC 196 and would last about a year. This will be the highlights version, considering we don't have the sequel to Fire and Blood that would include more details about the fighting. Daemon had support for his cause, but it's presumed not as much as his propaganda would make you think. It's said the Great Houses, which were the most powerful noble houses in Westeros, stayed loyal to Daeron. A bulk of the nobles supporting Daemon seemed to be from the Stormlands and the Reach, along with a house like Bracken in the Riverlands, too. That was a given with Aegor being the proponent for this plot. If you listeners checked out season one of this podcast, I had discussed in multiple episodes about the territorial disputes between the Reach, Stormlands, and Dorne over the Dornish Marches. They would be the lords least satisfied with Daeron's decisions about Dorne. Word got back to Daeron about what Daemon and his circle were up to. Prince Baelor actually hoped to give Daemon some leniency. Perhaps he hoped to talk to Daemon and work things out. You might be surprised by such a view, but I should point out that Daemon was born in AC 170, and so was Baelor. This uncle and nephew undoubtedly grew up together in the Red Keep. This is weirdly similar to what happened with Rhaenyra's and Alicent's children. I wouldn't be too surprised if there were some actual fond memories they had with one another from those years. Conversely, Brynden Rivers had a tougher position and advocated crushing this now. Ultimately, that's the position Daeron took as well. His Kingsguard were sent to arrest his brother, but Sir Quentin helped Daemon escape. As I'm sure you're aware, the sigil of House Targaryen is a red, three-headed dragon on a black background. Daemon chose to reverse the colors for his sigil, so House Blackfyre would use a black, three-headed dragon on a red background. Sir Quentin was a pretty effective commander in Daemon's side as well as a fierce warrior. He killed Lord Lefford at Lannisport and defeated Lord Daemon Lannister so badly he fled back to Casterly Rock. It was a blow that before the Battle of Redgrass Field, Sir Quentin was killed by an archer. Lord Leo Tyrell was also a fierce commander who sided with Daeron, which is pretty interesting. This is not too different from the dance, where not everyone in the Reach sided unanimously for one side. Unfortunately, Leo Tyrell couldn't make it in time to join the decisive battle known as the Battle of the Red Grass Field. Daemon's army was approaching King's Landing until Targaryen forces led by Lord Donal Arryn arrived to stop the advance. Daemon's side was pretty fierce and nearly crushed them until Sir Gawain Corbray of the Kingsguard arrived with reinforcements. It's said the duel between Daemon and Gawain was so epic it lasted an hour. Eventually, Gawain was blinded and defeated. Daemon respected the man so much he ordered the knight to be taken off the field to be treated. This would prove to be Daemon's fatal mistake. While this duel took everyone's attention, Brynden Rivers made his move. I haven't said much about Brynden Rivers, even though he's one of the most significant characters in this part of the saga. I had briefly mentioned he spent time at court since his mother was a favorite of Aegon's for 5 years. Her friendly relationship with Nerys and Daeron seemed to have also been passed to her children. Unlike Aegor and Daemon, Brynden stayed loyal to Daeron. He was also very intelligent. He received the nickname Blood Raven because he was born with a red blotchy birthmark that only vaguely resembled a raven. Like I mentioned a couple of times in past episodes, we saw a very brief glimpse of Blood Raven in House of the Dragon when Daemon had a vision at the Heart Tree. It's not clear when this happened, but Brynden was given Dark Sister. Sir Aemon the Dragon Knight previously had Dark Sister. However, Brynden preferred using a weirwood bow, which is fitting since his Blackwood family were followers of the Old Gods. Brendan Rivers led a group of highly skilled longbowmen who would be known as the Raven's Teeth at Red Grass Field. Brendan and his Raven's Teeth got into position while Damon and Sir Gawain dueled. Once the duel ended, the archers fired into the field at Damon's side. They managed to kill Damon and his twin sons, Aegon and Aemon, who were there as their father's squires. Aegor managed to grab Blackfyre and try to rally the rebels. Aegor and Brendan would also duel, and Aegor managed to take out one of Brendan's eyes. But ultimately, the rebels were forced to flee when Prince Balor and Prince Mykar arrived with Dornish and Stormlander reinforcements. The rebellion failed. After the failed rebellion, Aegor, Rohan, and her seven surviving children would flee to Tyrosh, where they'd stay for the next few years. She never returned to Westeros. But like I said earlier, that's just the first Blackfyre rebellion. Many nobles who supported Daemon Blackfyre were punished in a variety of ways. Some went to the Wall, some lost land, some had family members held as hostages as well. To end this episode, I'll get to the final years of Daeron's reign. At some point after the rebellion, Baelor would be named Hand of the King. All of Daeron's children got married, and most of them had children. I'll be getting into more detail about the grandchildren in the next episode. Baelor married Jenna Dondarrion and had two sons with her. Aerys married Eleanor Penrose, who is described as a cousin, but she's not one of Elaena Targaryen's children. There's a fan theory she could be descended from Baela or Rhaena Targaryen. However, it could also be an oversight on George's part as well. Rhaegal married Alys Arryn, and then Mykar married Dianna Dane, who is from House Dane in Dorne. Then we get into the infamous tourney at Ashford Meadows in AC 209. This is likely something we'll be seeing in the upcoming show, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. Many members of House Targaryen attend the tourney and even participated in the events. It's fascinating that some of Daeron's sons and grandsons are pretty skilled warriors, while he personally had little taste or talent for it. I've decided to give you the short version of the story because for the upcoming season 3 of this podcast, I'm going to talk about the tales of Dunk and Egg. These are the novellas that the upcoming show is based on. I'm going to be talking about the books before the series airs. And I'll talk a bit more in detail about this incident in those episodes. The short version goes like this. Duncan the Tall, who is one of the main protagonists of the upcoming show, attended the tourney. He winds up interacting with Prince Baelor and Prince Mykar. Baelor had known the knight that Dunk squired for. Baelor vouches for him so Dunk could compete. Later, Dunk ended up in a fight with Mykar's son, Arryn. Dunk claimed he was defending a puppeteer named Tansel he had befriended from Arryon. Arryon claimed the puppet show was some kind of treason against House Targaryen. I can assure you, listeners, it wasn't, but I'll explain further in season 3 of this podcast. Ultimately, it was decided that Arryon could claim trial by combat. Instead of one-on-one, it was a trial by seven. I had last discussed what that was in episode 203 when Maegor did a trial by seven. It's interesting that both Baelor and Mykar participated in this trial by seven, but on opposing sides. Mykar sided with his son Arryon. Baelor believed in Dunk's innocence and joined his side. It was pretty brutal, but Dunk was found innocent. Mykar had attacked Baelor during the fight. Eventually, Baelor died from his injuries, and Mykar would feel grim and bitter about accidentally killing his brother. This will come up again next episode. A few months after this tourney, another epidemic hit Westeros and would only be known as the Great Spring Sickness. A number of people died during this epidemic, including King Daeron himself and both of Baelor's sons. Valar was married but had no children, as his twin sons were stillborn. Mataris wasn't married and had no children. The next in line was Daeron's second son, Aerys. And that just about covers the life of Daeron II. If you're interested in finding out more for yourself, feel free to go to the full show notes where I will have links. Though be aware, if you do any of this research, there will be spoilers to the novels House of the Dragon and Max's future adaptations. Thank you for listening and tune in to the next episode where, once again, I'll talk about two kings. I'll be talking about Aerys I and Mykar. What did you think of this episode? Check out the WesterosiPrimer.com and let me know what you think of this episode. If you have a friend or two that might like the show, make sure to share.